نستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا أما بعد My brothers and sisters, today I want to talk to you about fundamental issue, which is what do we do in a state of crisis? And I'm saying state of crisis because in my view, and I hope you will agree with me, we as a people, we as an ummah, we as the Muslims of the world are collectively in a state of crisis. Some may be free from it because of where you live and so on and so forth. But generally speaking, the Muslims are in a state of crisis. My consulting practice, especially when a company is in trouble, I advise them to examine the fundamental decisions they make. And we call this back to basics. I was speaking to a friend of mine who was an instructor pilot and examiner of fighter pilots in the Indian Air Force. And I asked him what a fighter pilot is taught to do if he gets into trouble. You are up in the air, something goes wrong with the plane, what do you do? He said, we tell them, go to the manual. So I had this vision of this pilot now hunting for a manual when the plane is in a tailspin. So he said, no, that's not what it means. What it means is we say, do an instrument check. So I said to him that an instrument check is the first thing you do before you take off. And unless all the instruments are working, the plane won't even take off. So why do it again? He said, because that's the only thing we can do. At that point in time, we can't go physically outside and do a check. And the instrument will tell us what is wrong. And that is the meaning of back to basics. So what are the basics? The first of the basics is attitude. An attitude of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, as demonstrated by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sunnah. The kitab of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to follow Islam fully and completely and not partly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kaffata wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah said, O you who believe, enter completely and perfectly into Islam and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. I want you to concentrate on the words. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Verily, he is your clear, plain enemy. Now think about this. This ayah is addressing whom? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. We know two things about this. This kind of address in the Quran means two things. One is the believers are being addressed. And secondly, anything that begins with Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu is a hukum. Is an order, direct order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh, you believe, enter into Islam fully. Now my question to myself is, I recited the kalima, I think I am Muslim. So what does it mean enter into Islam fully? I am already a Muslim. I am in Islam. Now obviously it means that that thinking and that understanding of mine is faulty, because entering fully is different. If I am entering this masjid, I am just standing in the doorway. That's not entering the masjid. I'm in the doorway of the masjid. I'm not in the doorway of some other place. But enter fully means what? Enter fully means come straight inside here. And that is the meaning of this, which is enter Islam fully. Second thing is, I told you, concentrate on the word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَتَّبِعُ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Now, if somebody tells you, do not follow the footsteps of so-and-so, what do you understand by that? I understand that the individual is not there. I am there on this track and there are footsteps. That person is not there. If the person was there, then the instruction would be, don't follow that person. Nobody would say, don't follow in the footsteps. What footsteps? The person is there. This is not footsteps. This means the person is gone. There's no compulsion on you. You have decided. So therefore, if you are following in the footsteps of whoever it is, whether you are following in the footsteps of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or you are following in the footsteps of somebody else, or you are following in the footsteps of shaitan, good or bad, it means two things. Number one, the decision to follow is your decision. There is nobody there who compelled you. And secondly, therefore, you are responsible for the consequences of that decision. We are free to choose, but no choice is free. Every choice has a price tag. We are free to choose. Nobody compels us to choose this or that. But choices have price tags. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, of what will happen on the Day of Judgment. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا خُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَوَعَدَ الْحَقَّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانِ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُنِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مَا أَنَا بِمُسْرِخِيكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْرِخِي إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِي مِنْ قَبْلُ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, the shaitan will say, when the matter has been decided, when those who have done whatever they did, if it was reward, the reward is given to them, if it is punishment, the punishment has been decreed and that decree does not change. When the matter has been decided, the shaitan will say, verily Allah promised you a promise of truth. And I also promised you, but I betrayed you. I had no authority over you except that I called you, I invited you and you responded. So do not blame me, blame yourself. Don't send lanat on me, send lanat on yourself. فَلَا تَلُومُنِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Blame yourself. I cannot help you, nor can you help me. I deny your former act in associating me as a partner with Allah by obeying me in the world. Verily, there is a painful torment for the zalimun, for the transgressors, for people who are oppressors, for people who insist on sin. It is narrated by Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu, a man, we are talking about the basics. So Talha bin Ubaidillah radiallahu anhu said that a man with unkempt hair from the people of Najd, a Badu guy from the village, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We could hear him talking loudly, but we could not understand what he was saying until he came closer. So it's like he's talking to himself and coming, and then he, you know, lands there. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Islam. And he said, what shall I do? So he's a Muslim guy. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pray 5 times a day in 24 hours. He said, do I have to do anything else? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, unless you do it voluntarily. He said, what else? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fast in the month of Ramadan. He said, do I have to do anything more? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, unless you do it voluntarily. He said, what else? Rasulullah explained to him zakat, how much to pay and so on. The man said, is there anything more? Nabi said, no, unless you do it voluntarily. And then he asked about Hajj. And then the man said, by Allah, I will not do anything more than this, nor less. Right? So he's saying, I'm not going to pray the Hajj then Nawafil and this, no. What you told me I will do, I will not do anything more. And I will not do anything less. That's a very ignorant kind of a statement. But Rasulullah didn't get angry. He did not get, the Sahaba got irritated. They said, what is man? He has no adab. He talks to the Nabi like this. Rasulullah said, no. He said, if he does what he promised, he will get Jannah. He will get salvation if he does what he said. Now my question is that this is the basic fundamentals. That's why I say, let's begin with this. 5 times kalima, meaning no shirk in our aqidah. We don't join any partners with Allah because Allah has no partners. Number one. Number two, our five times salah in time. Where possible in the masjid. If it's not possible in the masjid, we pray it. But we pray it at the time. We don't delay it. Just think about this. This is an argument I keep having with my dear brothers and friends. There is something in Islam which is permissible. But among the permissible things, there are something which is afdal. Now, as a Muslim, what must you look for? Afdal or permissible? You tell me. I'm not talking about haram. As a Muslim, what must you... Salah? Is it haram to pray at home? No. Is your salah invalid if you pray at home? No. Then why do you come to masjid? Shut the masjid down. Why do you come? Because it is afdal to pray in the masjid. You get 27 times of the sawab. But if a person that never goes to the masjid, he prays at home. He's praying on time. He's praying at home. Maybe he just goes for Jum'ah. Otherwise, he doesn't go to the masjid. Is he going to Jahannam? No. Of course not. Inshallah, Allah will forgive him. What is there? I mean, but does it make sense? This is the afdal thing to do. We are supposed to fast 30 days of Ramadan. The last 10 days of Ramadan, i'tikaf. Is it fard? If somebody does not do i'tikaf, so what? Big deal. But the one who is doing i'tikaf, he is absolutely certain of getting Laylatul Qadr apart from many other benefits. Yes or no? We are supposed to pay zakat. Yes, khalas. And if I say I will not spend one single cent in charity more than that 2.5%, will I go to Jahannam? Of course not. I fulfill my duty. But what does it say about my understanding, about my religion? What does it say about my understanding about Akhirah? What does it say about my understanding of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who said what? خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ What? أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Is that a question between haram and halal? You're not talking haram and halal. Allah is saying among the good things, the test is who does the best. Praying salah at its earliest time is afdal. It is permissible to pray it before the time finishes. Nobody is a no to that. But if you deliberately delay salah, why does anyone delay salah? What is the reason? Why does anyone delay salah? For their convenience. Yes? Is there some other reason? If you are delaying, not if the salah got delayed, if you broke your leg or something. No. If you have decided that the salah time begins now, but I am going to pray 1 hour later, what is the reason? Convenience. What is Allah saying about this? فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ Woe to the Musallin, people who pray. Is Allah saying woe to those who leave the prayer? No, we are not talking about leaving the salah. Deliberately leaving salah is kufr. We are saying you are praying, but you have decided to delay the salah to suit yourself. Whatever the reason. I am not saying your reason is haram. No. But you had a choice of coming to Allah as soon as Allah called. But you chose. You said, no, I will come. You wait. So what happens with that? The issue is attitude. That's why I said the beginning of the fundamental is attitude. When a person is obeying in this way, even his obedience is disobedience, wallahu alam, because the person is saying, I'm not doing it because you told me, I'm doing it because this is convenient. So I am doing it because of my nafs. I am not doing it because Allah ordered. Obedience, the sign of obedience is to do something that you really don't like to do. Yes or no? What did Allah say? Don't even say uff to your parents. Why will you say uff? Where is the question of saying uff? If my mother and my father are such sweet characters, they never say anything bad to me, they always love me, then where is the question of uff? The question of uff comes when? When they are old people, they are being cranky, they are being crotchety, they are being unjust, they are being unfair, they are doing this, that. Allah is saying, no, let them do whatever they want. Let them do whatever they want. If my mother calls me, slaps me, I say, Alhamdulillah. At least I have a mother who slaps me. My father calls me and curses me out, no problem. Alhamdulillah, I've got a father who curses me out. Who else will do that other than my father and live to tell the tale? Huh? So, oof comes when? When the issue is unpleasant, when the issue is difficult. This is the issue. This is the issue. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to whom? This ayat came for Bani Israel, which I'm going to recite for you, but applies to us, like everything. Selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. Because there are three rules, I choose to obey one, and I choose to leave the next one. So what am I doing? I'm disobeying. Because Allah told me, enter into Islam completely. For those who do selective obedience, what did Allah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ Allah said, and do you believe in part of the book and you reject the rest? Do you believe in this hukum and leave the other one because it doesn't suit you? Then what is the reward for those of you who do this except disgrace in this life of the world and on the day of resurrection? They will be consigned to the most grievous torment, not normal torment, grievous torment. And Allah is not unaware of what you do. Who is being assigned to the grievous torment? Not people who disobeyed everything, but people who obeyed some things. What is the focus? The focus is the reason you obeyed. The reason you obeyed what you obeyed was because it suited your nafs, not because you wanted to obey Allah. Because if you wanted to obey Allah, you would have obeyed everything. But you chose. This I like. This I don't like. What I don't like can go. What I like, I will obey. This is the attitude of arrogance before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because selective obedience is arrogance. And therefore, by doing that, we are putting ourselves on par with the lawmaker, who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are by our actions saying to Allah, you want this, so what? I also want this. I will do what I want. If it happens to coincide with what you want, good for you. But if it doesn't coincide with what you want, I will still do what I want. This is what we are saying with our actions. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to please Him and to do only that which pleases Him. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فأما بعد فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال تعالى في مقام آخر إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد I remind you and myself, my brothers and sisters, that the final stage of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of selective obedience, and therefore obeying our nafs, the final stage of becoming a slave of our own nafs, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. When He asked this rhetorical question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَىٰ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا Allah said, which means, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, seen the one who has taken as his ilah, as his object of worship, his own desire? Would you then be a wakil? Would you then be an intercessor for such a person? What can you say about the one for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from interceding, from making shafa'at. We want the shafa'at of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we meet him on the day of judgment. We rely on this. But he is not going to make shafa'at for the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited him from doing. The shafa'at of the Nabi is only by the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to submit ourselves completely and totally to the deen which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought. Abu Muhammad Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu says in the hadith in Arba'in al-Nawawiyyah, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you believes until his desire follows that which I have brought. None of you believes, none of you is a believer until his desire follows that which I have brought. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, the great scholar, 88th century scholar, he said about the meaning of this hadith, a person cannot be a mu'min whose necessary iman is complete until his love follows those commands and prohibitions with which Rasulullah came. So that he loves what he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded and he dislikes what he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked and prohibited. The beauty of our religion, my brothers and sisters, which always strikes me, is that everything that is permitted or prohibited is something that is intrinsically good for us and has a beneficial result in this life itself. The reward in the akhirah is a bonus for the believer, but the action is in itself beneficial for anyone who practices it, whether or not that person is a Muslim. Take for example, in Islam, the prohibition of alcohol, of all intoxicants, of all drugs, of pork, of gambling, of interest-based banking, of lying, of cheating, and the focus on compassion, chastity, charity, good manners, kindness. What do you think will be the situation of somebody, Muslim or not, who lives according to these injunctions as his or her way of life? They will be the most popular, the most influential, the most sought after person in the world. Because everybody likes and loves people of this nature, who live a clean life and who do this. Al-Numan bin Bashir, he said, that he heard Rasulullah saying, what is lawful is clear, what is unlawful is clear. And between them are things which are doubtful, which many people do not know. So the one who guards against doubtful things keeps his religion and honor blameless. And he who indulges in doubtful things, indulges in fact in unlawful, in haram things, just as a shepherd who pastures his animals around a sanctuary will soon pasture them in it. Beware, every king has a sanctuary, and the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared unlawful are his sanctuary. Beware, in the body there is a lump of flesh, which if it is sound, the whole body is sound, and if it is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. And no, that is the heart, and this is in Bukhari and Muslim, and it is Sahih and Muttafaqun Alayh. My brothers and sisters, today, one of our major illnesses, major sicknesses, is fatwa shopping. The fact is that if you look long enough, and if you ask enough people, especially Sheikh Google, you will find someone who will allow you to do what you want to do. But this is not the position or attitude of a believer with a pure heart, who is seeking to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ruled. We should seek an answer from the perspective of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the issue and what Allah likes. Not look for a justification for an answer which we already decided upon by our own nafs. Therefore, the condition of the heart is the most important factor in how that answer will be sought and whether the person will indeed keep away from the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared in the Quran. Because Allah said, Tilka hududullah fala taqrabuha. Do not even go near. كَذَٰلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ وَآيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. Allah said, these are the limits set by Allah. Don't even go close to them. Allah is not even saying, don't cross them. Don't even go near them. Don't approach them. Thus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes clear His ayat to mankind who may become al-muttaqoon. And those who do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared that obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so critical that he said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah said, but no, by your Rabb they cannot have any faith. They have no iman until they make you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, judge in all disputes between them. And they find in themselves no resistance against your decisions and accept them with full submission. Think about this. We know that thoughts and feelings are not punishable unless they are acted upon. But in this case, with respect to obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that not only must Muslims obey him, but they must accept his rulings with full submission, and that their iman is defined by this and will not exist if they even feel rebellious about any ruling by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How does it apply to us today? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not here, but his rulings are with us. And that is why in today's world, any matter that needs to be decided, we need to go back to the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see what they ruled. And then find in our hearts submission and acceptance for that, inshaAllah. And for those who do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah said, say to those who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, emulate me, follow me. And what will happen? Then Allah will love you. And if Allah loves you, the boundary condition, the entry point is what? Allah will forgive all your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. I ask you to reflect on this thing. What does it feel like to be loved by Allah? What does it feel like to you if you are the beloved of Allah? What does it mean to you in your life? What will happen in your life? If you are the beloved of Allah, what will happen in your life? The minimum condition is you raise your hands for dua, your dua will be accepted before your hands are lowered. Minimum condition, according to me. But being the beloved of Allah is not some, you know, bolt of lightning that's going to come. If somebody is the beloved of Allah, how does he or she know that? And this is for ourselves. I'm not suggesting that you should judge somebody else. No, ourselves. How do I know that I am probably the beloved of Allah? By looking at my actions. Am I doing everything that Allah ordered according to the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? With shauq, with great desire, with waiting for it. Somebody asked the servant of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, they said, tell us about the life of your master. The man said, my master completes one salah and waits for the other. And in between, he recites Quran. Now, he was a businessman. So what does it mean? He was in Etekaf in Masjid all the time? No. He was doing his business, everything. But the thing is, when will the salah time come? When can I pray? When the salah time will come? When can I pray? Not to say, well, salah time came, but you know, we got time, we'll pray. No. Shauq. Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I told you, I'm not talking haram and halal. I'm talking about the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You decide if you want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or no. That's up to you. But as far as I'm concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never reach the level of birr until you serve and spend in the path of Allah that which you love the most. Not your spare cash, not your spare time, prime cash, prime thing which I love. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to enable us to create evidence of loving Him in our own lives, which we can present to Him when we meet Him, inshaAllah. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الابرار ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين واذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر اعداء الدين اللهم شتت شملهم ودمر ديارهم ومزج جمعهم اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واغذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الابرار امين يا رب العالمين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله ان الله يامر بالعدل والاحسان وايتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدو يستجيب لكم ولذكر الله اكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون اقيموا الصلاه